My name is Milad. I'm a program manager in the Surface Engineering team. And it's a great privilege really being here after 2 years with you guys and talk about Surface and specifically focusing on the enterprise aspect of our devices. What I'd like to do is I want to show you a quick video which really visualized for me the power of Surface and the power of Microsoft devices and the transformation of Microsoft in general.
There are those that will tell you it's too difficult, too challenging to even try. But you refuse to accept any limits. You have big ideas and the drive to make them happen. That spirit that compels us to move forward is not just in some of us. It's in all of us. It's why we build and explore. It's why we create and push ourselves to go further. It's the same spirit that inspires us to connect. For those who are bold enough to do great things, Microsoft devices help you achieve more. Because when there are no limits to what your devices can do, there are no limits to what you can do with them.
It's interesting to see the transformation of Microsoft, and if you look into all our devices, Microsoft devices powered by Windows 10 are the best devices you can get right now, regardless if it's Surface, HoloLens, Band, you name it. All of them are just incredible devices which enable a mobile experience for our users. So what I want to talk with you about is two areas. First, I want to talk about Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 and around the product development cycle for commercial features. And then the second part is around commercial tools we've been working on for you guys. So everything in order to make deployment, manageability, and security easier for the enterprise. If you have any questions, we're going to have, of course, a Q&A. But you can also tweet with me if you want to, or ask questions over Facebook. That's totally fine with me. So let's talk about our devices. Our team, the commercial engineering team of Surface, has really started working on the product starting around Surface 3. Surface 3, what some of you don't know, when we start working on it, it was not planned as an x64-bit device. The idea of Surface 3 was we wanted to have an x86-based device, and we pretty much raised a flag when we joined the Surface group and said, might not work in the enterprise. And that was the first major decision our team took and in order and transformed Surface 3 from an x86 device to x64 only a couple of months before we announced the product. Some other stuff we've been working on are features like advanced device security in order to manage UEFI through PowerShell, asset tagging capabilities, as well as publishing the drivers and firmware over the Microsoft Download Center as a zip and MSI file. So we do that in order to help you guys use your existing infrastructure like System Center Configuration Manager in order to stay current with your Surface devices. When you look into the new devices, so Surface Book, Surface Pro 4, and the accessories around that, it's interesting to see that a lot of those capabilities that have been introduced afterwards to Surface Pro 3 or Surface 3 are part day one of the device. So that's why we really see the Surface Book as the ultimate laptop, not just for consumer, but also for enterprise. And Surface Pro 4 really starts where Surface Pro 3 ended in terms of the performance and capabilities. Surface Dock, for those of you who are familiar around daisy chaining for Surface Pro 3 with the docking station, will appreciate the new docking station when it comes to having dual monitor scenarios, because now you're getting two native display, mini display ports. So those are the areas we've been focusing on in order to make sure that Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 are really the right devices for the enterprise. What I want to show you now is a couple of things. I want to talk with you about Windows Hello and the improvements we've made together with Windows on that topic. Cover UEFI, so the firmware is the soul of Surface. And then I'm going to share with you some interesting stories around how we work together with third-party ISVs, such as Intel Security, to improve the experience, not just from Microsoft stack perspective, right? Of course, our focus and primary mission is to show what Windows can do. Reality is that typically enterprise customer has a mixed environment. You have customers with McAfee software, you got Symantec software running, et cetera. So we want to have a better story on that. And then I'm going to talk about the driver and firmware as well. So with Windows 10, the Windows team introduced a new feature called Windows Hello. The idea of Windows Hello is very simple. You use your face, iris, or fingerprint in order to authenticate to Windows. Our mission in Surface is to show what Windows can do, so it was a kind of no-brainer for us to introduce Windows Hello to the next generation of Surface devices. So Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 has an IR camera, which we have designed and implemented. And in addition to that, the Surface Pro 4 has a new type cover, the Surface type cover, which has also the fingerprint capability in a separate SKU, currently available only in the US market. The cool thing about that type cover is you could also use that on Surface Pro 3. Okay? So you have face recognition and biometrics, if you like to, in order to enable Windows Hello. One of the things we've been learning when talking with customers, so with commercial customers, is they were always afraid about what happens with that data. Where is that data stored? When you activate Windows Hello, essentially all those human identifiers are stored in the TPM chip, and we don't want that those data roam. We don't want that. And believe me, you don't want that either. One of the conversations I had with one of my customers around that was something around the lines like, it's okay if the company gets hacked, but if the company gets hacked and lose the human identifiers of their employees, that's a big issue, right? Because all of a sudden this impacts not just the company, but also the employees at that company. So that's the reason why we decided to make sure that all those human identifiers for Windows Hello are actually stored in the TPM chip, and there is no way to access that. So how does that look like? Move to this machine. So it's trying to find me right now. And within a couple of seconds, I am already and playing Minecraft. Let me go out of Minecraft. Tile. Anyone wants to join Minecraft, you let me know. Milad MSFT is my Minecraft handle. Okay. So under PC settings or Windows 10, you will notice, if you are staying current with Windows, there is a new area called Windows Hello, okay? And when you have not configured, when you have not enabled Windows Hello yet, all you have to do is essentially just go into PC settings, user accounts, sign in options, and then you can see and configure Windows Hello. One cool thing is, with people particular when they have, for example, sunglasses, and you really want to make sure that regardless of what you wear, except a mask, that you're able to authenticate. So what Windows did is they added this capability to improve the recognition. Okay, so what I can do is now I can say get started. It found me, and I can continuously improve the experience I would have with Windows Hello. So the next time I authenticate, it will get even faster. Okay, so. And that's the same thing, regardless if you're talking about regardless if you're talking about face recognition or fingerprint, okay? So it's the same experience. So that's basically a quick look on Windows Hello. We are extremely proud of it. We literally believe that that's the future, not just from a Surface perspective, but from an overall ecosystem perspective. Windows Hello is the future. The other part, what I will talk about, is UEFI. So with UEFI, what we did is, with previous generation of Surface devices, so Surface Pro 3, Surface 3 as an example, we were partnering up with a third-party UEFI provider, and we're building our firmware. If you follow Surface actively, Surface is all about really advanced prototyping and being fast in the product development cycle. We have incredible talented people who are very passionate around their topics, and we want to empower them in order to do more. So what we did with Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 is we decided to build our own UEFI implementation. So we have now, I think, around 15 to 20 people working on UEFI firmware. And I'd say it's probably the sexiest firmware you can see in the industry. Right? So this is the new UEFI firmware interface. And one of the things, for example, we learned about is around versioning. If you have booted a Surface Pro 3 device, as an example, to UEFI, you notice there are version numbers. And then when you have a support call with Microsoft or your partner, they're going to tell you, but that's not the version number I need, right? So what we did in Surface UEFI, we ensured that the version numbers are now detailed, laid out, and are actually the version numbers you would need in order to troubleshoot Surface devices when needed. So this is the start screen of Surface UEFI. Under PC information, you get the model, the system UUID, asset tag, etc. Under security, you can define the UEFI password if you want to. Secure boot, you can configure secure boot. So you can say what certificate should be used, Microsoft only or Microsoft plus CA. You can enable or disable the TPM chip. Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 come with a physical TPM chip. It's TPM 2.0. Under devices is a feature we transitioned over from Surface Pro 3. It's essentially giving IT professionals the ability to manage components of the device itself. So you could have scenarios where, particular with public sector customers, they'd say they would like to disable the camera, but they don't trust the operating system stack. They don't want that this camera ever made it up to the OS stack. So that's why we introduced this pane, the devices pane, where you can configure on the device which components should be activated. So essentially, we're talking really on bus level, what is enabled, what is disabled. So if I would, as an example, swipe this over, the front camera is now disabled. If I go to if I boot into the operating system, I will never able to see the camera. It just won't there. It just won't be there. Under boot configuration, you can configure the boot order of your device. And then basically it's about some regularity stuff we have to put in. And then you can exit it from here. It's touch enabled, which is great. And then some of you might have experienced challenges around the on-screen keyboard with previous generation of Surface. So we also made sure we have a new OSK SDK essentially for our developer partners. And we partnered up with them to make sure that the on-screen keyboard of Surface, regardless if we're talking about Microsoft software or third-party software, has a better experience. So that's around the UEFI piece of Surface. One thing I want to talk with you also is about the manageability of UEFI. So today, I'm going to give you a sneak peek on what's coming up with our next update, probably somewhere in spring 2016, so February timeframe-ish. It's called Surface UEFI Enterprise Mode. We've been looking into how you can securely manage UEFI and how you can simplify it quite a lot for IT professionals. With Surface Pro 3, what you had to do is you download the Surface firmware tool, and then you need to know PowerShell. because the only way to configure UEFI in Surface Pro 3 is through PowerShell. Yes, we do have some sample articles available which contains explanations on how you could do certain things, but really PowerShell can be challenging for some portion of IT professionals. So we looked into that and thought, okay, how can we make it better? And that's why we decided to build Surface UEFI Enterprise Mode. What it is, essentially you're gonna have a tool called the Surface UEFI Configurator. The Surface UEFI Configurator will allow you to create configuration packages. Those configuration packages will contain your public key, so your public certificate, and certain configuration options. You can send it through any of your manageability tools, such as System Center Configuration Manager, Microsoft Intune, AirWatch, you name it, through the Surface device. The Surface device at next boot will prompt the user and say, your organization, let's say Contoso wants to take ownership of this device firmware. Do you want to transition this device to enterprise mode? The moment the user press yes, we store the certificate into the UEFI certificate database, and we enable enterprise mode on that device, which then allows your organization to configure UEFI through configuration packages. So that's something we've been working on, and we are very excited about that. It will be available for Surface Book and Surface Pro 4. And let me show you how the tool will look like. So this is literally the very first prototyped version for my dev team. It's the Surface UEFI Configurator. It's a wizard-based approach. We try to simplify the work associated for IT professionals in order to do that. So you press build. The very first step is you need to decide, okay, what is the certificate you want to import to that configuration package? And do you want to set a UEFI password? You hit next. Under devices, just like you would boot a Surface Book or Surface Pro 4 into UEFI and where you can configure devices, remember that's what I was showing you before, you now have the same capability in the configuration pane for devices. And the cool thing is you will be able to say, for example, if a device has, let's say, a front camera, a rear camera, and an IR camera, and you just say, just put cameras all off, it's a tree, okay? So it will disable the entire tree, or you can do it individually. You hit next. In this pane, you will be able to configure the boot order if you want to, as well as define certain behaviors for secure boot, as well as the trusted platform module, so the TPM chip. Hit next. Now one of the cool things as well. What we start seeing is, when we started Surface, it was very simple. You had a company and they had one model, right? They had the Surface Pro 3, or they had like the Surface Pro 2, etc. Now we start seeing organizations having multiple flavors of Surface, let's say. They have Surface Pro 3s, they might have some Surface 3 LTE devices, etc. We didn't want to build a tool which just works on Surface Book and another tool which just works on Surface Pro 4. We wanted to have one tool in order to help you guys to have a simple approach on our own configuration of UEFI. So essentially what you will see is that I will be able to configure on which devices this configuration package should work. So in this example, by default, we say it should run on Surface Pro 4 and on Surface Book. I could also just say it should only run on Surface Pro 4. One of the cool things as well is, if you do that, what happens if, for example, let's assume the Surface Pro 4 does not have an IR camera? The package will still work. We are just skipping that component because our engine is smart enough to understand that even though you said this configuration package should run on both devices, it understands that that certain device does not have that component and will just skip that configuration. So if I click build now, it will offer me to create a MSI, okay? That was one of the key things, really. We decided to not have a new data format or whatsoever. We want to give you guys the capability to use your existing infrastructure. So that's why we decided that those configuration packages will be MSI files, because that's probably the easiest way for you to distribute that in your environment. So regardless if it's really just a USB stick if it's through System Center or through other infrastructure tools. At one point, you will see the progress bit more detailed. So it will tell you, OK, which step it is. And then it completes within a couple of seconds, minutes. And then it will give you some recommendations on what you can do now with that configuration package. Now, in theory, if I would now take that on a USB stick, as an example, plug it on a Surface Book, it will reboot, pop up, saying, hey, your organization wants to do enterprise mode on that device. Are you sure you want to do that? Hit yes. It will configure everything for you. So that's the Surface UEFI enterprise mode and the Surface UEFI configurator. It will be, there are two parts to it. First, there will be a UEFI update in spring. And then we're going to publish this tool on the Microsoft Download Center. For those of you who are not familiar with it yet, we are very focused on making IT Pro content available on the Download Center. So if you go to the Microsoft Download Center, just type in Surface, you will see product panes for Surface Pro 3, Surface Book, you name it, even Surface Pro Original, Original Surface Pro. And then you will have a section for the commercial tools as well. So that's the Surface UEFI configurator and that feature. The next story I want to share with you is what it took for us really to work with enterprise ISVs. And it's very interesting to see. So what we did first off, we asked our Microsoft Services organization, so our support engine said, what are the biggest pain points when you look into our support cases, right? What is the software which caused a lot of frustration? And they gave us a list. And then we said, OK, we're going to fix that. And what I asked my dev team at that point is, I really don't care if the bug is on our end or on the ISV's end. At the end of the day, the mission is to showcase what Windows can do for Surface, and we want to do what's right for you. So that's why we said, OK, dear Intel Security, which is formerly McAfee, dear Symantec, et cetera, we want to work with you guys. We want to come to you and visit you and work together. So as an example, I flew a couple of months ago to Brighton, where Intel Security is located, with my dev team. I said, let's work together and get the thing done. Right? So you will see a lot of improvements around that. For those of you, for example, who use McAfee Disk Encryption, McAfee will launch a hotfix which will contain improvements in order to have a great touch experience in their pre-boot environment. Right? So for those of you who use Surface Pro 3 with McAfee Disk Encryption, you might have noticed there are some challenges sometimes. Right? There's even a KB article saying, oh, you should really use a mouse on the Surface Pro 3. Kind of bad. So we work with them. It's fixed. There's a hotfix coming for them. Another element is around how we test certain stuff. I'd say we have one of the smartest test teams in the world. And the reason for that is, yes, we do focus on benchmark results, of course, right? Which OEM doesn't? But we really focus also on the scenario piece of it. So as an example, we have guys, they are responsible for testing games on Surface Book or Surface Pro 4. Yes, I know, it sounds like a cool job. If you do gaming like 10 hours and try to find one specific bug, it's not that fun. But they do that in order to make sure that top games work great on Surface. And when I joined Surface, I was always like, OK, that's great for a consumer perspective, but what will we do on the enterprise front, right, for the IT pros? So that's where we start looking more into it. And we said, OK, we're going to get Microsoft experts around different technologies, so Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, System Center Configuration Manager, Microsoft Intune, you name it. We're going to give them devices. We're going to lock them up in a room and then say, please test your technology on our devices. Right? So that's what we did, for example, in order to understand, OK, how is our device behaving on the Microsoft stack? Another piece to it is around how we do design validation for Surface. So we had started doing Wi-Fi testing as an example, and we pushed it to the next level. So for around access point testing, we tested around 120 enterprise access points for Surface Book and Surface Pro 4. Disk encryption, we tested literally all major players around disk encryption. And then the third pillar is accessories. And that started out of an interesting idea or scenario. So I was in a meeting in our building 88, and I plugged in one of our prototypes back then from Book, and I got a pop-up saying unknown USB for our conferencing solution. And it really, really annoyed me. So then I went to our test team and said, guys, let's buy accessories and invest into that area, because if it happens to us, it will happen to commercial customers, and I don't want that. So we start purchasing printers, we start getting barcode readers, webcams, microphones, conferencing solutions, third party, and of course our solutions, and we start actively testing. Right? So I think we have around 100 or 150 enterprise accessories, how we call them, in our pool, where we are testing our next generation devices to make sure that there's a better experience around that. So that's the enterprise scenario testing piece. Right? It's, I'd say I never had it where you have a device and you connect it to a Microsoft technology like, let's say, MDT, and it will just work. You connect it to a System Center Configuration Manager, and it will just work. It's really that simple. And I really recommend, like, don't take everything I say for granted. You can find it out yourself. There are the labs available on the second floor where you can try to deploy Surface Book, Surface Pro 4, through Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. Just have a feeling around the quality of the device. Drivers and firmware. So that's an interesting topic. It's interesting because for those of you who are more familiar on Surface and how we handle drivers, or for those of you who are familiar with Windows deployment, Windows Server for updates, so WSUS, you have noticed probably that when you go into WSUS, you don't see our drivers and firmware updates, right? I see some people shaking head. Yes, I know. I understand your level of frustrations on that. So the reason why our drivers or firmware don't show up in WSUS is very simple. We use a technology called model-based servicing, MBS, for our drivers and firmware. What that essentially means is it's a technology originally coming from the mobile world, so from Windows Phone, where based on priorities, certain drivers and firmware get installed. And we follow the same principle on Surface devices. MBS is not supported in Windows Server today, as well as in System Center Configuration Manager. That's why our team took the decision to start publishing the drivers and firmware of Surface devices on the Microsoft Download Center, and they're available as a zip file, a compressed file, as well as an MSI. The idea is you can use the zip file during deployment, right? So you can import them into your Microsoft Deployment Toolkit share, deployment share, or into SCCM and start the deployment through that. And then you can use the MSI to make sure that your Surface devices stay current, right? Some people ask us, okay, what is really required, right? Are all those driver updates really necessary? Yes, they are. I know we are one of the few OEMs who provide regular updates, but also we are one of the few OEMs who decide to implement new features even after we ship a product. Surface UEFI Enterprise Mode is a great example. Surface, the advanced device security feature on Surface Pro 3, another great example. We want to continuously provide you guys features that help you guys to do more. So that's available on the Download Center. Just go there and you always get the latest zip or MSI file for the products. One cool thing is with Windows Server 2016, WSUS will support MBS. With the next major update for System Center Configuration Manager, they will also support MBS. So that's when you can start, where you will start seeing our drivers and firmware in your infrastructure as well, popping up as a new required update for your devices. Until then, we're going to continuously provide you guys the drivers and firmware you need through the Microsoft Download Center. So that's the tool, the devices piece, which is pretty exciting. The other element is around tools, commercial tools we've been working on for you guys. The first tool, I think we started that, we launched that 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's called the Microsoft Surface Data Eraser. This comes up This tool has been designed after long discussions with commercial customers like you, long discussions with our partners. What we hear from our customers is, we want to make sure that when we send you a unit for return or exchange, we don't want that you get our corporate data. We don't care if you say it's encrypted, it's secure. We want to wipe the data. Now, for those of you who are familiar with Surface, you probably have noticed there are no screws, right, in the back of the Surface device. So it's not that simple to remove the storage. Please don't try that. You will destroy the unit. So that's why we decide, okay, if we cannot do that over hardware, how can we empower our IT pros to still wipe the data? So that's why we work together with our IHVs, so our storage providers, in order to build a solution around that, and that's a Surface Data Eraser. The Surface Data Eraser is essentially a tool which creates, first of all, a USB stick, and that USB stick is a WinPE environment where we just do a simple WMI query and say, okay, what's the device you have? What's the storage inside? As an example, let's say Surface Book with Samsung storage. Cool, we're going to launch the secure wipe tool from our IHV. Okay, don't worry, there are like 4 or 5 pop-ups saying, are you really sure you want to wipe the data? Right, so don't open a support case and say, I did it by accident. There are 4 or 5 pop-ups. So that's a Surface Data Eraser. And let me show you how that looks like. See, 2 seconds, authentication. Okay. So this is the Surface Data Eraser. Yes, it's the same user experience like the Surface UEFI Configurator. One of the missions I gave to my dev team is I want to have a common design language for all our tools. So that's the outcome of it. So the Surface UEFI Configurator and the Surface Data Eraser share the same design language. So in this current form, Surface Data Eraser supports Surface Pro 3, Surface Pro 2, and Surface Pro 1, the original Surface Pro. All you have to do is click build, you plug in a USB drive, it will auto-detect the USB drive, it formats the drive, it's FAT32 because it's a UEFI-based device, you need FAT32 to boot from it, and then it copies the binaries, and you just boot from it. Like I said, it's a PowerShell script starting up and does the magic for you. So that's the Surface Data Eraser. It's already available. So you can just go to the download center, grab the latest bit, and it's available across all the product panes right now. So if you, regardless if you go to Surface Pro 1 download, Surface Pro 2 download, Surface Pro 3 download, you will find those binaries. And there is a great TechNet article which I recommend to you guys also to have a look. It covers also some of the security aspects to it. So what are the DoD or NSIT standards we are meeting? Because maybe some of you are not familiar with it. In order to call a technology for data wipe, secure wipe, there are certain industry standards, and we are following them. The second tool is called the Surface Deployment Accelerator. SDAs, we started working on SDA a while ago, and the idea was, or the reason why it exists is very simple. Every time we talk with commercial customers, or our internal folks, we hear it's very challenging to prepare a proof of concept environment or a small environment where I can just evaluate Surface. And we say, okay, we can do that better. And we looked into how our friends in Windows, for example, do solution accelerator offerings, okay? And we decide, okay, let's follow the same principle and give the IT pro a tool, which is essentially a wizard that configures certain technologies, like Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. Okay, so Surface Deployment Accelerator leverages existing technologies, existing industry standard technologies, I would nearly say. So it configures for you Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, it configures for you WDS, so Windows Deployment Services, and quite literally, depending on internet speed, it takes roughly 30 minutes till you can do a custom image deployment on a Surface device. Why I say internet speed? Because if SDA detects during the installation on a Windows server that, for example, you don't have the latest Windows ADK assessment and deployment kit, or you don't have the driver packs for a Surface Pro 3, as an example, it will download those binaries for you and install that as well. So that's why, depending on the internet speed. If you have everything literally already installed, so Microsoft Deployment Toolkit and the Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit, it takes 16 minutes till you can deploy a Surface device. So let me show you how that looks like. So I'm starting up the SDA wizard. This is a welcome pane of SDA. Gives you some information around the prerequisites in order to run Surface Deployment Accelerator, which is essentially all you need to really is a Windows Server 2002 R2 server as a member server of your infrastructure. So you need to have Active Directory, DNS, DHCP, et cetera. But typically that's not a problem for this crowd to have that ready. So you have a member server, which is part of your domain, and it has to have internet connectivity. And then it gives you two benefits, the Surface Image Creation Service, which helps you to create a custom image, and then the Image Test Deployment Service, which helps you to deploy the image you created. So you hit Next, accept the EULA. Now it does a system verification check. So it verifies, okay, do I have the Windows Assessment Deployment Kit installed already? Do I have the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit installed? If not, no problem. It will just download the latest bits and install that for you. Experience configuration gives you two areas. One is the common applications part. And that's basically where we put in applications we recommend you to install as part of your custom image. So because in that build, we support Surface Pro 3. That's why it offers you the Surface Firmware tool in order to enable UEFI manageability on Surface Pro 3. And it also offers you the Surface app. So the Surface app is all about really giving the end user more choice on how you configure the pressure sensitivity of the Surface Pen. Under driver pack, I select Surface Pro 3. It will always grab also the asset tag tool, so you can configure asset tagging in UEFI, and a KB article, which is essentially an improvement around ClickNode for Windows 8.1. You hit Next. Now you configure the deployment share. So all you have to do is say where you want to store that info, the deployment share. Let's say deploy. Hit OK. The share name. You can say, do you want to import this custom image to Windows Deployment Service? That's pretty useful if you have WDS on the same member server. If not, you can just copy-paste essentially the boot vim into your WDS. Hit Next. The Windows installation files, let me just mount that. So it asks for the Windows 8.1 bits. It gives you a summary showing you, okay, what are the configurations you selected? And if I hit finish, it starts essentially a PowerShell script that installs all of those configurations you just chose. Surface Deployment Accelerator is now available. So there's, again, there's a great TechNet article going a bit more in detail on what it does. And we are, of course, working on getting that to run Windows 10 very soon, and then Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book. So that's the Surface Deployment Accelerator. The next piece is around Cisco technologies. So some of you might have certain authentication providers like Cisco Peep, EAP Fast, and Cisco Leap. They're pretty old authentication provider from Cisco, and Windows does not support them natively. So what ends up happening is you go to this customer, unbox Surface, loves it, and then he tries to connect, and it doesn't connect to Wi-Fi. And then that user goes to IT, and IT says, oh, OK, let's take a look. And notice, OK, this device does not support Cisco Peep, Leap, or EAP Fast. So that's why we work together with Marvell, our chip provider, as well as Cisco, in order to change that experience. We want to be able to allow users to just connect to Wi-Fi. It shouldn't be that difficult, right? So we work together with them. And very soon, you will see on the Microsoft Download Center a new entry saying the Cisco Supplicant Installers. When you download those Cisco Supplicant Installers, you get essentially three MSI files. Number one is Cisco Peep MSI. Number two is Cisco EAP Fast MSI. And number three is Cisco Leap MSI. You can install that through your existing infrastructure. And out of suddenly, magic happens, and you will be able to connect to a Wi-Fi infrastructure that has any of those three authentication providers. We tested it on Surface devices, so on x64-bit Surface devices, Surface Pro 1, Surface Pro 2, Surface Pro 3, Surface Pro 4, Surface Book, it's getting longer and longer, on Windows 8.1, as well as exclusively, of course, for Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 on Windows 10. Works great. And we start getting some feedback from early adopter customers on that specific topic. It solves a big problem for them, which was essentially the user was not productive, right? He had to have an Ethernet cable. Now let's talk about deployment recommendations in general. And that's really an interesting topic, because that's like the number one thing people would ask our team is like, how do you recommend deploying Surface? And typically, my first answer is, just like any other Windows device. And then we dive into that. From a Surface Book and Surface Pro 4 perspective, both devices run exclusively Windows 10. Okay, so if you want to deploy a Windows 10-based device, you need to make sure that your infrastructure supports Windows 10. In the example of Configuration Manager, it will mean the cumulative update 1 and or 2, depending on which build you are. And then for MDT, Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, the team just published the update 1 in order to support Windows 10. So that's the getting the infrastructure ready piece, OK? And then the second piece is, well, you want to get the drivers and firmware. And that's what I mentioned before. You can go to the Microsoft Download Center, and it has all the drivers and firmware you need. And you can import them into your task sequence, into your deployment shares. The third thing is a bit interesting. There is always a group of IT pros who say, we're just going to put all the drivers, all the firmware, which we possibly might need, because we have like 10 different devices in our hardware catalog, into one image. Yes, it takes us an hour more to deploy, but we don't know better. That's the one part. And then the second part of IT Pro is we actually target drivers and firmware depending on which hardware they use. That's the direction where we want to bring our IT Pro audience, OK? So if you're familiar with WMI queries, if you're familiar with SMBIOS values, you will appreciate two values. The first one is make. The second one is model. Okay, and if you go to our blog post around deployment, you will see a very simple recommendation. Please don't put all the drivers and firmware into one boot WIM. You don't want to have a 15 gigabyte WIM. What you want to have is like a 2 or 3 gig WIM, which just contains the basics, and then depending on the hardware, you add more stuff automatically. So what you can do in Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, or in System Center Configuration Manager, or through the Surface Deployment Accelerator, it will target the driver and firmware installation by make and model. Right? So that's the third piece. And then number four is, once you deploy the device, please stay current. And in order to stay current, all you have to do is get the MSI file from our download center and patch those devices in order to get the latest features as well as improvements. Right. There were some questions last year at Chicago event where they asked, okay, but how come there are no optional updates for Surface? We don't do that. Like literally, we don't do optional updates. And the reason for that is we don't have time to do optional updates. Okay, if we invest dev resources and test resources into an update, that's because we need everybody to update their devices. That could be we found a security hole we want to patch. That could be, hey, we have a new feature we want to implement and show you guys how to do it. And it could be just general stability improvements, okay? So it's not like, oh, well, we changed one code line and, well, you don't really need it. That never happens in Surface. All our updates are required updates. That's how we flag it, literally, in Windows Update. There are no optional updates from our end. So that's basically the deployment recommendations we give typically to our customers. There is the, from a Surface Pro 3 perspective, we have the Surface Pro 3 deployment guide available on TechNet. And also, you start seeing the transition into the Windows 10 content, let's say, through the Surface Tech Center. So if you go on TechNet, there is a Surface Tech Center, which gives you a lot of valuable knowledge around how you deploy, manage, operate, and secure Surface devices. One thing I learned with talking with my customers around Surface Book was, sooner or later, there was always one question. So, Mila, tell us, what feature of Windows 10 should we activate? And I always give the same answer. If I have really a wildcard and can activate one feature in your environment, then it's Device Guard. And the reason why I say that is very simple. Device Guard is a mitigation against one of the most common hacks, which is pass the hash. All our Surface devices, including original Surface Pro, supports Device Guard. Okay, and with Device Guard, essentially the hash code you had from your credential is no longer accessible to a hacker. Okay, please, when you go on Surface Book or Surface Pro 4, or if you move your existing Surface to Windows 10, evaluate Device Guard. That's the number one feature. Okay, so that's basically around that part. We did a lot of more improvements on how you guys really can get more information from our engineering team, our support organization, and in general, Microsoft experts were specialized onto Surface, like the Microsoft Valuable Professionals, the MVPs are on Surface. So I talked briefly around the Tech Center. One cool thing, really, is the IT Pro Bulletin. How many of you know about that? Hands up. The Surface IT Pro Bulletin, we're going to move everybody to that now. So the reason why this is important, one of the number one requests from commercial customers is, you know, it's great that you guys do those updates and put them up on the download center, but I don't know that you put it up, right? Yeah, you have a blog post, but again, I have to go to the blog in order to get that information. So that's why our commercial marketing team has decided to create a newsletter, and it's not really, this is a great new product, and click here, buy now. It's not that. It's actually an IT Pro Bulletin, which provides IT Pro-related information through Surface. So I believe it comes on a cadence of 3 weeks or 1 month, and it informs you whenever there's a new driver or firmware update. It informs about new tools, like the Surface Deployment Accelerator, and it points you to the right TechNet articles. Okay, so that's the Surface IT Pro Bulletin. If you go to the Surface Tech Center, you will be able to register it by entering your email address. The third piece is the IT Pro blog, where you will start seeing more and more articles around why we build stuff, for example, right? What is the engineering decision on why certain features look like that? Or how does certain features work, right? So that's an area also to look into. And then the last part is Microsoft Mechanics. For those of you who are familiar, who are coming from the Office side, they might know Office Mechanics. Office Mechanics is now Microsoft Mechanics, and it's across all the priority areas of Microsoft, so from Azure to Office to Server into Surface. And essentially, those are very short videos available for IT pros around, in the Surface case, how to deploy, manage, operate, and secure devices, right? So one of the first videos we made around that is how do you get the latest drivers and firmware. So subscribe to that. It's on YouTube. Those are all resources for you guys. We have lots of people from Surface here. If you feel like there's something missing, there's like this, just like my customer would ask me if you would have only this, please let us know. We are there for you. And literally, that's the reason why my role exists, why my team exists. We want to help you guys to be successful with Surface from a commercial side. And quite literally, if you guys are successful with Surface, I am successful. So that's why please reach out to us. Let us know what are the features you want, what are additional informations you want. Maybe you're going to tell us, hey, we want more detailed content. No problem, we can build that, but we need to know it from you. Lastly, I like to put up this particular picture showing all our latest devices. Because now something very interesting starts happening. With having now three device categories, one of the first questions is, which one should I get? Right? Now, of course, you could say, OK, it depends on what you want to do, right? From an enterprise perspective, what it means is we see Surface 3 and Surface 3 LTE, which are a great low-cost device, as a great entry-level device for your organization. Okay, so that's the Surface 3 piece. Works great for educational scenarios, for example. Surface Pro 4, the evolution of Surface Pro 3, is when you want to have a bit more power, right, and you still want to stick to this form factor, to this beautiful tablet form factor. And Surface Book, the big surprise for everybody in this room probably, is when you want to have even more performance, when you have creatives in your organization. Think about industrial designers, think about construction workers, CAD users, stuff like that. That's where you want to go for Surface Book, and of course, if you want to have a clamshell laptop experience. I'd highly recommend that you go also to our expo area. We have all of those devices there, and get a feeling on how it works. How does it feel to hold it in your hand? It's pretty amazing, right? This magnesium experience on Surface Book, there's nothing better like that in the industry. And then, lastly, before I open up for Q&A, two very important recommendations also. Number one, when you walk out of this room, have high tea, I think that's what they called it on the agenda. Have your high tea, and then go into room 7 and 8, where Brian Sanderson will talk about building Microsoft Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book. Okay, so it's more on the hardware piece of it. And then on Friday, Brian will also talk about building Surface accessories. So from the Surface Type Cover over to the Surface Pen, right? So those are the two other sessions I'd recommend. And of course, please make sure you check out the labs. Okay, the labs are great. We moved them over because we had so much great feedback when we did Ignite in Chicago, and we made it available here. Make use of that. So with that, I'd like to open up for Q&A and hear all about your, of course, happiness around Surface, I hope, primarily. So there are two microphones over there. If you want to come to the microphones, and then I can start answering, hopefully, all of your questions.
Is the enterprise mode going to be ported back to the older Surface devices as well?
So Surface UEFI Enterprise Mode will be an exclusive feature for Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book. The real reason for that is very simple. In order to do Surface UEFI Enterprise Mode, it's a UEFI dependency. So in Surface Book and Surface Pro 4, we start building our own UEFI implementation. It just doesn't exist on Surface Pro 3. We would have to rewrite the entire firmware stack of Surface Pro 3 in order to get support. So that's why it's an exclusive to Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book.
Sorry, what's the best way to capture bulk MAC addresses when importing them all into SCCM for Surface Pro deployments?
So you want to capture the Wi-Fi and the Ethernet port MAC address?
No, when we're wanting to have a lab of Surface Pros with the docs, is there a quick way that we can capture all those MAC addresses to import them into SCCM?
Yes, so there is a blog post on that, right? So basically, one of our engineers from the support side, they documented a way in order to capture the MAC addresses for System Center Configuration Manager. Follow that one, and the reason for that is there's a second question which you didn't ask actually to that. If you use System Center Configuration Manager, SCCM will only allow you once using the MAC address, and you need to remove it from SCCM before you can use it again for a Surface device. In order to mitigate that issue, there we published this blog post. Just go to Surface, go on Bing, Surface, MAC address, TechNet. That's the number one entry you will find on Bing. Any other questions? No? Okay, so then I'd like to thank you everybody for joining this session. I hope you have a great experience at Ignite, and please don't forget to complete the survey. Thank you.